Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the free agents coming off rookie deals here. So this is a continuing running back tiers. And, you know, it's an interesting batch here because you've got some really good players. I think you've got some, you've got the reigning rushing champion, right? You've got a former top five pick, right? You've got a blend. And I think you take another step down and then it becomes a little bit more diverse. I think a little bit less ceiling. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys do. As a general, you know, as just a general consideration, I think it'll be interesting in a class that I think a lot of people like. I think a lot of a rookie class a lot of people like, in a position where there's a lot of depth across the position presently. We've talked in prior episodes about how it's can be older, but in aging. But generally speaking, like, there's not a lot of teams where you look around and be like, oh, there's an overt need, right? So, now that may be coming, right? That could, you know, in a year, we could all of a sudden see, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 jobs open up from some guys aging out of the position or falling off. But we're getting a backfill of rookies again, right? So I do think that there's a bit of that going on, which is an interesting, there's a bit of, I guess, overall, where does this position fit discussion going on. And I think that's a pretty interesting, you know, it's a pretty interesting debate generally. And then I think you sort of go into the debate of, you know, how high should these guys be picked in rookie drafts, NFL drafts, and the whole nine. Like, it's a really interesting discussion. I think we'll learn a lot about the position. I think this will be an offseason where we get a pretty good idea of how the NFL is viewing these guys. So up here at the top of the tier, we've got Barkley. We have Jacobs as well. I think they're the top two, really. PFF, they do a really good job of sorting out the free agents, kind of what you might expect for contracts and the like. They both have these guys getting tagged, so that'll be interesting. I'll be certainly curious to see what the Giants do with Daniel Jones, right? I mean, some of the numbers that are getting kicked around on them, I don't think he can, like, there's zero chance that they can pay him $45 million a year. So how Barkley fits in that, right? If they're going to tag one of those guys, if they're going to, you know, they have some options, I guess. But all of a sudden, like, you sink a ton of money into probably a not elite quarterback and a non-premium position, right? It's a lot of money to sink. So we'll see how this unfolds. I'm interested in certainly watching what they do. Daniel Jones will probably be the first shoe to drop right now that this podcast has been released. You can tag people and the like. So we'll start getting those things rolling. I'll have some shows on that as well when those come along. But yeah, I mean, Barkley, I think, is certainly the biggest potential move. He's been linked to Chicago, which I think would be interesting. Again, running back's not the thing that they need. They need players around Justin Fields. But when you look at it, Barkley has slipped a bit, right? He is 26 as we stand here right now, and he's running back 5 this year. He's never really gotten all the way back to where he was pre-injury. So, and it's behind Hall, it's behind Taylor, it's behind McCaffrey, Eckler, Walker, all ahead of him over at Fantasy Calc. So, I am interested in, if I have him, I think the play is probably to go across positions would be the thought. It's hard to arb much further down than where he is and feel comfortable with it, right? He still has a pretty good ceiling. But some different places have him different, like keep trade cut, for example, has Eckler behind him. So Like, there's some disparity. I think a Barkley and a Najee Harris deal would be something I would explore. I'm not sure how big that gap is, but that would be something I would explore. Yeah, can you make that move and get a difference maker at a different position, you know, a true upgrade to sort of solve a problem? Like, that'd be an interesting place where I'd borrow from. So, you know, we'll see what the contract looks like. Because if he's playing on a tag, all of a sudden he's going to be 27 going into free agency. And, you know, what's that look like in terms of longevity and guarantees and all the like, it's with some wear and tear and the knee injury and the like. So all that stuff's going to be interesting. He will have been 6 years in, too. If he plays this year on a tag, he will have been 6 years in, because 5 years on the rookie deal, a tag, he'll enter free agency at year seven as a running back. That's not great. So he's hoping to lock something down now, I'm sure. The other one, again, is Jacobs. He actually led the position, and I didn't realize this until I was just doing my research for the show. He actually led the position in PFF WAR, which is like wins over replacement for the NFL. He was top eight in 2021, and he was actually running back 14 in 2020. So the volume, the production, right? Those things have all added up, and he's been a really good player. Right? We've said this kind of for a while. Coming off a really good season, you know, what's the Raiders look like? What do they look like? I will say Jacobs is a year behind the trajectory of Barkley. He would hit free agency in year six if he was tagged this year, because they didn't pick up his fifth year option, right? So that's an interesting sort of wrinkle there. 1 year younger than Barkley, and more top 24 seasonal finishes and as many top 12 seasonal finishes. So Jacobs has hit every season. That's four. And he has three top 24 seasonal hits. Interestingly, both he and David Montgomery have hit four times to start their career. The difference there, Jacobs, three top 12s, only one for Montgomery. Miles Sanders, three top 24 hits, zero top 10s. He's kind of the indicator of like, hey, if you get a couple early that are top 24s and not top 12s, it's probably a ceiling concern, right? Just the way that folds, it's kind of tough to do that multiple times and have ceiling. So that has shown up to be true with Miles Sanders. I think it is a tier break after that for these guys, right? You go down to Pollard. I think there's some interest there, right? PFF hasn't projected to be a potential cap guy. Franchise tag guy. It's interesting if what they are going to do with Zeke. Do they try and rework Zeke and bring back Pollard? Do they cut Pollard, or do they cut Zeke and let and bring back Pollard? Do they potentially draft someone? Right. I think there's a lot of different options. This team has been one that has been willing to invest in the running back position. Pollard won top 24 and one top 12 finish through four seasons as a round four running back. He is 26 years old. So all these guys right around either 25 or 26. He right now 17 over at Fantasy Calc. I mean, I think I like him. Like, you start looking at it, like, do you like him or do you like Dobbins better? Now, Dobbins is a year and a half younger, but if you tell me one of these guys is going to make a true difference, I think it's Pollard. I don't know. There's some thought that, and I'll do some exploring on this in a future pod. Some of the impacts of some of the different coaches that have been signed, but they do have a new head coach, and that will almost certainly help the running back position get more involved in the passing game. It can't hurt. So I guess maybe that's the optimism that you'd have about a guy like Dobbins, but I just think like Pollard has shown more elite things to date, but you wonder if he's going to hold up and he's a year and a half older. All right, so I think that's an interesting one. You know, Mixon or Pollard, I'd rather take the shot at Pollard. And Pollard's actually almost a full year younger than Mixon is. Mixon's like 2.5 years older than Dobbins. So when you start thinking about these, that's pretty wild. Then you get up into the Javonte, Derrick Henry tier, you know, Swift. I'm not sure I'd push Pollard up, you know, that. I think I'd rather take the swing on Swift, but I could see Pollard winning. But again, he's a year and a half older than Swift, right? So he's a little bit older, and some of the guys that are up above him. And I don't know if he has like the single 1 year ceiling that's as high as a guy like Derrick Henry. So it's a little bit of an interesting blend there with him. So again, I kind of wonder if he's in the range of that Austin Eckler deal. I've talked about that one a bit. I still think that's one of the great contracts a team has signed a running back to in recent memory. It is like the best. So we'll sort of see how that all unfolds. But yeah, it's he's one that can kind of fill that role. Like, it wouldn't be super shocking to see him, go on and really kind of make a difference in a big way on a contract that's not that big, right? You could see him really being that next sort of generation of that type of player, because it doesn't have the true workload. How much of a demand is it going to be? But he can really be optimized in his touches. So that's kind of the angle I'm hoping for on Pollard. I think it'd be interesting if he's brought back to Dallas. I think the market would be super excited for him if he is brought back to Dallas and Zeke is cut. I think that's almost like that would be a very, very exciting thing in the dynasty community. Almost like the way AJ Dillon was a couple of years ago. He's more expensive than Dillon, but when there was like the thought that Aaron Jones was going to leave in free agency, and that ultimately did not happen, Dillon saw a pretty big spike. I think you could see a scenario like that unfold for Pollard. Again, Pollard's 14. At the time that happened, like, Dillon was like in the early 20s, so it's a little bit harder to go up. But you could see. I could see somewhere in the range of, I could see people moving him ahead of Chubb, Najee Harris. Like, you start getting to a really hard tier to kind of break into, because I think the guys up above that are a good combination of ceiling and or they're young. Like, maybe he jumps ahead of a guy like Stevenson. I don't know. Like, you start, he could get more expensive and probably become almost more perceived like a bump guy, but actually maybe not move that much in value. So, maybe the market is you can do future picks or something like that for him. Miles Sanders is one that I'll be interested to see if there's more there for him. He was one that when he came out, I thought that he had a little bit more to maybe offer in the passing game. Hasn't truly come to fruition to date in his career, but he could potentially see a bigger role someplace else. But I think 4 years of really not being a big time difference maker in the passing game probably tells you something about his trajectory. So, he's talking about wanting to stay with the Eagles. I mean, they're a pretty smart organization. They're going to have to pay a quarterback. Do you want to sink money into a running back or, go cheap at the position? Like, that's certainly a big question. A 0.88 yards per route run, hasn't been above 0.81 in his 3 seasons since his rookie year. So I think you have to be a little bit skeptical. Is he like a higher paid or sexier version of J.K. Dobbins, for example, right? I think that's kind of the sphere of which he operates. 170 total targets throughout his 4 years, so not a ton there to work with. His high since his rookie season in terms of yardage is 197 receiving yards, so not a ton there in terms of ceiling. Again, that's kind of backed up by the three top 24 hits without a top 12. Like, that very much speaks to that type of profile. David Montgomery, the other one, it's really been kind of like a starter. He's an interesting question, because what do you like? He's more of an aggregator. I think if you were to say, like, if you were to start putting some guys in some different categories, you could kind of do it on a box of like really efficient low volume, really efficient high volume, like inefficient low volume, and inefficient high volume, right? You could do the kind of the grid there. And I think he's certainly in the high volume category, but he's much more of an aggregator in the mix and mold. I wouldn't necessarily say he's like a high per touch guy or anything like that, but he's much more of an aggregator. And, you know, we see that four top 24 seasonal finishes. He's got one top 12. So again, that speaks to very similar to Miles Sanders, right? Very similar to Miles Sanders in that respect. Yeah, I think he has, in despite the memes that are out there and the I don't know if they're whatever they were, cartoons or whatever the placards were they used on TV that compared him to, you know, Saquon Barkley and Sony Michel and all these other guys, right? That's really not who he's ever been. But again, I think he's been more productive in his college, in his NFL career than I expected based on his college stuff. He's been a better receiver, been north of 1 yard per route run each of his last three seasons, and has 300 or more yards receiving in each of his three seasons. So each of his most recent three seasons. His best year was really 2020 in terms of all his production stuff. That was his best receiving yards, that was his best rushing yards, scored 8 touchdowns, good PFF grade. He's good, not great. You know, what's the market in where there's a lot of supply of these guys? What's the market for a guy like him? I find that one really interesting. You know, PFF, by their numbers, have him as being below Miles Sanders in terms of potential contract. 3 years, 6.5 average per year. That's kind of similar to the James Conner contract, which honestly, like, seems about right. You know, that's about... Yeah, that seems to make some sense, right? Miles Sanders, $7.5 million, a little bit better there than Montgomery. It's his projection. And again, Pollard, Barkley, and Jacobs all projected as potential franchise tag guys at this point. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, what the demand for him is will be interesting. Is he a guy that plays kind of on a, you know, 1 or 2 year deal, you know, similar to that James Conner deal, but can, you know, be the heavy, like, you think about a guy who could be valuable in Buffalo, for example, if you want a little bit of an added physical element, and if you want a guy that can do a little bit of both, right, you can sort of see how a team like that might be interested in a guy like David Montgomery. Also notable, David Montgomery made like just over $1 million last year. So not a ton of contractual, you know, he hasn't made a ton of money in his career, being a mid round three guy coming out of, you know, when he came into the NFL. So be interested to see sort of what he can cash in. I think that's a tier break afterwards. Then you get a couple of guys in here who I think are interesting in our orbit. Madison's in there. Damien Harris is in there. Again, it's a probably not a, you just look at base rates, for example, it's probably not super likely that Alexander Mattison goes on to have a big, market, right? Only about 4% dynamic density with him. So that's one where you're like, all right, well, like, that's like, we like him, but historically these guys haven't gone, right? The last guy that's really gone on a rookie deal hasn't played and then kind of got another crack. We've seen it, but it's been a while, right? Like, I think Priest Holmes was a guy that kind of did that. Toby Gerhart was a guy from years ago who did that as well. Michael Turner was a guy, like, that's probably what you're shooting for, is like that type of trajectory, but it hasn't been super common recently. But again, it's not super common. They get a day two pick who hasn't really ever gotten a pure crack at a starting job. Right, you look at the comps in this tier alone. Damien Harris got a crack and really didn't cut it. You know, got injured. Right, I think Ramondre Stevenson's a higher ceiling player. Montgomery got a crack. Singletary kind of fizzled out. It was okay, but fizzled out. Miles Sanders got a crack. Again, Pollard wasn't a day two pick, and the other guys were first rounders. So it's not super common that these things happen. So I would just be a little bit, I'm optimistic. One of the things I'm optimistic about Madison is that he was I believe the idea that he was actually a trade candidate, right? That there was actually a trade market for him, and that they held on to him. Like, I could believe that, but you know, it couldn't have been too robust that the team turned it down, right? Like, it couldn't have been that. It's probably something along the day three line. Again, a big guy that can do a little bit of both and doesn't have a ton of tread on the tires. So you could see a spot where, you know, can he go in someplace? You know, I keep using the Buffalo place as an example that doesn't have a clear one where he's kind of like a 1B maybe. But hey, he could kind of grow his role. I could see that happening. So he's one that I could see that happening almost more than I can for Harris. We kind of seen with Harris, like, there's not a ton of receiving aspect to him. I thought he was a little bit better coming into the NFL than he has been. So, you know, that's, I think, one spot where I thought he had some receiving chops to him coming out of college, but he just really hasn't been able to consolidate that job in the NFL and ceded it to some situational guys. And he also ceded it to Ramondre Stevenson, right? Ramondre Stevenson took over that role and then consolidated it. So, you know, is Harris more of like a, this is a guy who's basically scored a touchdown a game a couple years ago, right? This isn't like, he's no slouch, but he just is a little bit more of an interior grinder, you know, primarily a runner than he is really a dynamic fantasy threat. So that's kind of where I see these guys. When you look at some of the value stuff for them all, again, Jacobs is the big real riser this year. He's quarterback. He's running back 8 at Fantasy Calc. So he was like in the 20s. There were some dynasty projections for him that didn't have him in the top 20 last year, which is just insane. Just crazy to me. Pollard 17th right now. Again, we mentioned him. You start looking down a little bit further. Miles Sanders is at 25. And then Montgomery is at 22. So they're close together there. Dynasty marketplace liking them a little bit more than some of the projections are contract wise for these guys. So that's interesting. But they're really close. They're very close in terms of where they are. Singletary's out at running back 39, and then Madison's 45, and you have Damian Harris is just ahead of him at 42. You know, 151 overall for Madison, that's interesting. 139 for Harris, that's interesting. We start looking at guys sort of in that range. Kareem Hunt's in there. Cordarrelle Patterson, Samaje Perine are in there. You know, Mostert's after that. Kenneth Gainwell's after that. So when you start looking at that, again, you could, in 5 years, I could look back and be like, man, was Madison the ultimate tease? Yeah, but like that's a possible storyline. It's also very possible that like he's the best bet to hit from there to a meaningful degree. And, you know, it just isn't that high of a hit rate range, you know? So I think it's the right direction bet, but I'm not extremely optimistic on it happening. You know, if I could ever get a first for him, I would do it. I don't think that's probably going to happen, but if that were to sort of present itself in season, I would make that flip. But you know, that's sort of the thought. Again, am I buying for a late second? Like, that's kind of the value of what he's in right now. You know, if I could get a second right now, sort of liquid, I'd probably, you know, if it's a 2024 second, I'd probably take it instead of Madison. I would definitely do that for Harris if Harris landed someplace meaningful. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the angle which you're looking at. I'd certainly take that for Singletary. I just don't think Singletary, like, I think Madison of these guys has the biggest ceiling because I think he can do both. I don't think Singletary can. I don't think Damian Harris can, of those cheap guys, that is. And I mean, I could even see a Madison having a better season than Miles Sanders ever has. So again, that's like, if he hits, I think his hit can be bigger than Miles Sanders' hit is, and he's a lot cheaper. So again, his floor is lower, but you sort of get that blend. And even if it's a 6-week sample, like, I could see him making a pretty big dent in some fantasy production. So That's pretty much this tier. A bunch of guys that we like in this tier, and some guys that we'll be definitely tracking here with free agency, the tags all coming up. It'll be interesting watching this unfold. And that'll do it here for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.